So today is Mother's Day, and I'm the one that is filling in for Jason today on this awesome holiday. But before I begin preaching and everything, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer because I absolutely need prayer as I break down Bible verses and everything. So let's pray this morning. Dear God, I just thank you. I thank you this morning for all the moms in the room, all the spiritual moms. God, I know motherhood can be tough, it can be exhausting, and so today, God, I pray for this sermon that it will be full of encouragement and that you will be able to help these moms out. I just pray that you will give me the words to say, give me the heart and the mind to speak your word and your truth today. God, and we love you and we praise you. In your son's name I pray, amen. So, out of 5 years being here at Cartlidge Creek, I've preached probably around 10 sermons. And I would say the past few have been probably the ones that have gone really well, it seems like, for me. So this might be the hardest one, is how do I preach a day where I'm not a woman, I'm not a mom, because, and it is tough. Like it is, and I would say this too, for some of y'all in this room, Mother's Day might be a tough day where you've lost a mom, and you're reflecting on this day. And today might be a joyful day because we got plenty of new moms in the room. And you get to celebrate and enjoy a meal, and you get to reflect on the memories of your mom still being around. So this, it could be a tough or a joyful day. But my goal today is just to encourage the moms in this room. But also, if you notice at the very, if you look at your bulletin at the very end, after the postlude, it says to mothers, to stepmoms, to aunts, to sisters, and I would say to the spiritual moms, people that have taken on a spiritual motherly role in people's lives. So my goal is for the women in this room is to just share some encouragement with the Bible verses that we're going to discuss today. But one thing I just want to reflect on is my mom. My mom growing up, my mom growing up, she had me in church 9 months before I was even born. So that is my mom. She was that video. She had to deal with four boys growing up, so ranging from all different ages. So she had a lot going on in her life as a mom. But one thing I really enjoyed about my mom is that as a teenager and as a kid growing up, she made sure me and my brothers and I, there we go for the English people in here, my brothers and I were in church, that we were learning about who God was, that we were learning about who Jesus was, that we were plugged in going to church. My mom was also the one that was willing, even during difficult financial points in my dad and my mom's life, she was making sure whatever way possible that we were able to go to church camp where we could have a spiritual growth in our lives as her sons. My mom was willing to sacrifice weekend after weekend going to ball games, sitting in 100-degree weather, making sure that I was able to play sports as a kid. Many like y'all as parents and grandparents in the room today. But it was tough. When my mom, going in as a freshman in college, was diagnosed with breast cancer, I thought for sure that this would rock my mom's world and it seemed like life would be given up for her. But as she leaned on God, as she trusted in God, no matter whatever happened, she placed her faith in him, but she also had a community of people at her workplace and her family and church family that would give her Bible verse after Bible verse and just say, hey, we are praying for you. And I learned from my mom never to give up, but to keep your faith in Christ. My mom was willing to give up and sacrifice many things, but the one thing she never sacrificed was her life with Christ. She was not willing to give that up. But that was crucial for her raising four boys growing up. And also, like I said, the spiritual moms. I don't know if y'all might could understand what that phrase might mean, a spiritual mom. Give you an example. Growing up, there was an awesome lady. Her name was Pam Matthews. I had two best friends. They were brothers, Spencer and Jay. Spencer and Jay Matthews. And this, their mom took on another motherly role in my life. Growing up, I remember sitting in their house about middle school age, 12, 13, 14. And she went through one of the most probably horrific, or I wouldn't say horrific, but pretty messed up divorces I've ever seen. I remember sitting in her house. The dad would come over, and it was like the kids were pinned against each other during this time. But I would be sitting there on the couch, and I would be listening and hearing it. And that was very tough. But I know when the dad left, all I remember is that she would pray during that time. She would open up her Bible and read scripture. And when I would spend the night at their house, no matter how late we stayed up during the night, 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, she always made sure to say, hey, church is important, guys. We got to go to church. I don't care how late you stayed up, we're going to church. And even during this very tough time, because I remember sitting at her house, and she wasn't even sure if her car would crank the next day to get to church. I remember she was trying to figure out job situation after her and her husband split. A job situation was tough. But the one thing I saw her never give up was Jesus Christ. Even as a middle schooler sitting at her house, seeing her kids in tears as mom and dad were fighting over who would get the rights for them to come over that weekend. That was tough. But this woman was so incredible, she had an impact on my life. And the reason I bring her up is that maybe today, maybe you're not a mom, but there might be a chance for you as a motherly figure to take and impact someone's life today. Because there are teenagers, there are kids, there's young adults that might not have a good mom in their life, but they have an incredible spiritual mom in their life that has taken time to love them and impact them. And I want y'all to reflect on that, to think about that you might have someone today that has taken on that role. And have you thanked them? Have you let them know how much you appreciate them for what they've done in your life? So today, if you have your Bible, we're going to be in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. All right, I still hear some pages flipping. That's Old Testament, towards the front of the book. I'll let you cheat and look in the index. I think it's the index. Appendix? Index? So, yeah, there we go. Thank you, Cruz. I know you got a good mom that raised you, so I'll give you that credit. So, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27. We're going to be in another passage a little later, so, but we're going to cover these two passages. 1 Samuel chapter 1, 27. It says, I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I've asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Give you the context just real quick before. This is Hannah, Samuel's mom, and this is about his life, and we'll get to it in a second. So let me ask you this. Moms, have you ever felt drained and have no energy? Right? Moms, have you ever felt drained and have no energy? Yeah? Okay. So am I wrong in saying that when I saw my mom take me to ball games all around the state of North Carolina in 100-degree weather, when she would get home, she felt pretty drained. But is there any other moms that could connect with that? That you were bouncing around, going from tournaments, games, practice, anything like that, where you just feel drained and have no energy? Any moms here? Amen? Not yet. All right, I see one hand. I see two hands. Okay, so I'll preach to y'all today specifically. All right, so because it seems like the rest of these moms have all the energy in the world. So what about this? When you were go, have you ever felt sometimes as a mom that you don't know what day it is? That you seem to forget the day? Maybe sometimes you even don't even know how to dress yourself or your kids because you're just so mentally exhausted. Sometimes you get to work and you're so worried about getting your kids dressed and ready for school that you might have forgot to like brush your teeth or something. I mean, like, some of y'all, I see some that laugh, so the other ones don't want to laugh because they feel embarrassed. But hey, but sometimes you have kids over. What about this? Moms ever feel drained or exhausted after a sleepover where there's like 10 kids in your house? You got to cook, you got to prep, you got to do all that. Moms, do you ever feel like praising God when all those kids are gone and you can actually hear yourself think? You ever get that way? Yeah, because I remember growing up, me and my buddies and I, there we go, I'm going to get that right today. My buddies and I, we would come, and when you got like 6 or 7 guys, like kids like 10 to 12 in a house, playing video games, eating all the food in the pantry, it seems like you get kids over there, by the time the weekend's over, you got to go buy another $100 or $150 worth of groceries because all the kids ate all your food. So I remember growing up, my mom would be so exhausted after like a sleepover or something like that, and you would be drained, right? And let me ask you this, moms. Do you know what sleep is? Do you know what sleep is? Because after, again, going back and forth to ball games, taking kids to maybe concerts, maybe even having sleepless nights of like stressing and worrying because you got a kid that's taking AP exams coming up. I mean, like, there are multiple times where there might be sleepless nights. And it is so hard just to catch up. What about this? What, you know, again, Sarah said a pretty sad prayer request a bit ago about an 18-month-old that just passed away. And you think about the sleepless nights that might be after that and how tough that might be. Or a kid for someone that was in a car wreck. You know, you think about a kid that's sick, and as a mom, you want to try to stay up and stay awake and make sure that these kids are taking the medicine or making sure that they're okay. But what about, for a spiritual mom? Because I said that as well. This is a kid that's not even technically biological yours, but you're willing to worry about them, stress about them, trying to make sure they have a good home life at home. Maybe saying, hey, like, can I buy you clothes? Or can I help you out, get a ride somewhere to get a job? What is sleep? So with all the stresses of motherhood and being a spiritual mom, taking on another child that's not even yours, how is it that you get through life? Where do you start at? Where do you begin? And that is the reason why I shared that Bible verse a second ago, and I'm going to read it one more time. It says, I prayed for this child, talking about Hannah. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I asked of him. So now I give him to the Lord, for his whole life will be given over to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. So the question again is, where do you start as a mom or a motherly figure? First thing is, you got to rely on God. You can't do this by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. Hannah relied on God. And this is very tough. Very tough. That she had to have faith to know that God was the answer to help raising this child, Samuel. So let me ask you, moms, when it comes to kids or even possibly taking on another child that's not yours and you want to be a role model to this kid, how much have you relied on God? Have faith that God will help you out raise this kid? Because Hannah recognized that she had to call out for God. In today's society, in today's culture, I would say everything is very hard to be a spiritual role model for your child. But that is where it begins. By surrendering to God and saying, God, I absolutely need your help day in and day out to help minister and to help disciple my kid. The next thing she did was pray for her child. Moms in the room, and I would say even dads, how often do you sit down and take time to pray for your kid? How much time are you willing to give in prayer for your kid? Because it sounded like, Hannah, this was critical. This was huge. Praying to God, saying, God, I need your help. So the first thing she did was surrender to God, relied on God, saying, God, this child is yours, but I need your help praying. I need your help calling out to him. Because let me say this. Would you say your kid is perfect? Do you think your kid's going to stress you out? Do you think your kid is a sinner like the rest of us and going to make bad choices? Prayer is crucial. But when is the last time you really prayed for your kid? When is the last time you prayed for your kid's salvation? And maybe I should say kid as in an adult. That some of us in this room might have an adult kid that is not plugged in church and definitely not plugged in with Jesus Christ. When was the last time you took time and prayed saying, God, save my child? One of the text messages, because I'm very thankful I've had a mom that when I preach, she comes in with my brothers and everything and supports me as I preach. But this morning she said, Nathan, I don't think I'll be able to make it because I want, one of my wishes for today as a mother is for my other brother, Trent, to be in church. My mom has done tried to do her best to raise us up in a godly family. But my brother, Trent, decides to do his own thing. And one of her wishes as a mother on Mother's Day is to have her own child sitting on a pew next to her in church hearing about Jesus. What about this? When you pray for your child, do you ever pray for their spouses or soon-to-be spouses? Do you ever pray that for their future in the job? Or do you ever pray, what about this, parents? Do you ever pray that your child will be a missionary in today's time? God, I pray that you will send them overseas to a country where there is absolutely no Christians at all, and they might be the one to take the gospel to them. Parents, that's a scary prayer, knowing that there might be a possibility God would use them in a country thousands of miles away for him, but that just means you might not be able to see him but once a year, if that. Moms, prayer is critical. Especially when we mess up as the kids. The next part is maybe even harder than this. You look at the life of Hannah. She says, Samuel, I give to you, God. I want to dedicate his life to your will. Parents, how hard would that be? Saying, God, I always think about the Lion King. You know Lion King where, all right, I'm going to mess up the reference. I think that's Simba. And I can't remember his dad's name, but Simba's being held out on the rock. You know, some of you Disney people. So it's not Mufasa. Mufasa's the bad guy, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not him. Oh, Mufasa is the good guy. All right, there we go. We got some people paying attention, knows some reference. So Mufasa's the good guy. Scar is the bad guy. Scar does have the scar on the eye. So Mufasa's holding Simba out. You know, you think about that reference. And he's like dedicating him to the kingdom. But think about it. Hannah is what? So Simba's being held out, but Hannah is pretty much doing the same thing. God, I want you to have your will be done with Samuel's life. God, whatever you do with his life, that is your will be done. And I want y'all to think about that. How many of us as parents, how many of y'all as parents or as moms have that prayer? God, whatever you want to do with my child, may it be done. That is a very tough prayer. That means you might not be able to live through your child. But God might be able to do anything that's be able to use them as a missionary, as something like that. That is a very tough prayer, saying, God, if you want them to go serve in a country somewhere else, or as a minister, or traveling around, that is a very tough prayer. But that's what she did. She dedicated her child to God's will. And I challenge you as parents that if you start praying that, God will do some incredible things. But that just means you might have to take a back seat in your child's life and allow God to work. I'm almost done. So today as well, we're going to be in Proverbs 31, all right? Proverbs 31 as well, verse 25. So as y'all are flipping over there, the next question is, after you surrender to God, relying on Him, I know moms are multitaskers. I'm not so much. So as y'all are flipping over there, I know you can listen at the same time, right? So Proverbs 31, 25. But as you are surrendering to God, as you are working on that vertical relationship, moms, saying that I need to surrender to God, I need to rely on Him, I need to dedicate my child to God. Now it's like, all right, how do I connect my child to God? How do I impact my home life? How do I, a horizontal relationship? All right, God, I'm good with you vertically. So how do I take you horizontally in my child's life? And this is going to be how you as a mom or soon-to-be mom or women in the room, this is how you can make a difference. I would say this passage right here. Proverbs 31, 25. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instructions is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Honor her for all that her hands have done, and let her works bring her praise at the city gates. And I just want us to reflect on that passage just for a moment. Because I don't want to just speed through this passage. I don't want to just rush through it. Just like I don't want to rush through this holiday that we seem to only celebrate one day a year to honor moms. It's more like it should be a 365. She is clothed with strength and dignity. I want to say this. When I look and reflect on my mom's life and I would say my second mom growing up, Pam Matthews, these were some of the strongest women I know. To be able to overcome cancer as you're raising a 3 or 4 year old, and you're also sending one into college. As Pam Matthews was going through a nasty divorce, but did everything she can to find a job to be able to put food and transportation in her, you know, be able to help out the kids with transportation. They have moms, you have incredible strength that I would say only comes from God. Because sometimes you look at a mom's life and you wonder, how can they overcome diversity like them? So moms, I praise you. When I look at y'all's life and I see y'all go through so much and keep y'all's faith, The only thing I do is praise God because you have strength that comes from Him alone. And it's awesome to see how y'all can overcome these trials. When I looked at the word dignity, you don't hear that often, the word dignity, or even maybe in a teenager's perspective, because as a youth pastor, I don't hear that word often. But I looked it up, and it talks about respect and honor. So if we're going verse by verse, and you see this, she is clothed with strength and dignity. When I look at a mom that has dignity, that means she is respected and honored. And when I look at a mom's life that has that honor, for me, it shows that there are other women coming to her life saying, how is it that I can help raise my child like you? That you were respected because you have done your best to show love and kindness to your kids and your family. But I would say this, for some moms, dignity can seem to be lost when your child messes up. And it seems like you want to give up as a mom because of your child's choices. Does that make sense? It's almost like a disgrace when your child messes up because it reflects on how you've raised them as a mom. And the only thing I can say is don't give up. Do not give up. Because I know my mom never gave up on me when I made bad choices. When I decided to do my own thing, and I saw my mom in tears because I made poor choices growing up, the only thing I could say is my mom never gave up on me, and she never gave up on God. Even when it seemed like I stripped her away of that dignity because I made some bad choices. Moms, kids are going to mess up, and you're going to feel like they disrespected you. But the only thing I say is don't give up. Don't give up on your child. Keep praying for them. Keep loving them. Even when it seems like they're taking advantage of you or whatever, keep praying for your children. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions on her tongue. I will say this, moms, you don't even need a counseling degree because y'all have some of the best wisdom ever. I remember growing up when it came to, let's just say, baseball or dating or anything like that. I wouldn't go to my dad for some reason. I would go to mom. Why? Because it seems like moms would be a little less judgmental. They would be accepting. They would say, hey, you know, I'm willing to love you, nurture you. I got wisdom for you. It's because they want the best for their babies. They want the best for their kids, and they speak wisdom. So think about this. I just want y'all to reflect. What is some of the best wisdom that your mom ever gave you? Or your motherly role model that you looked up to? Maybe growing up, she gave you some wisdom that has impacted your life, and you will remember to the day you die. Again, moms have that wisdom about them that it seems like no one else has. Those comforting words to help get you through their day. Maybe moms are willing to help give you wisdom on how to raise your own children. Mom, hey, so-and-so, my baby's sick, what do I need to do? Oh, there it is. Mom's willing to, because they've lived life, they have wisdom, they have instructions to help you out. And I realize I skipped ahead. I'm going to bring about this. Moms, when you have sleepless nights, when you have stress, when your kids are making bad choices, if you look at that verse 25, it says she can laugh at the days to come. Sometimes I would say as a mother, it is very hard to laugh, very hard to smile, because it seems like the stress, the worries, the fears of life is on your shoulders. It seems like you have no hope. But you need to laugh some days. For me, laughter is a good medicine for the soul. So moms, sometimes you got to get away from that stress, that pain, the worries in life, and you just have to laugh, cut up a little bit, in Jesus-approved ways. Let me say that. Cut up in a Jesus-approved ways. You got to laugh a little bit. You got to enjoy life. And I know as a mom, my mother, there was times where when she was doing radiation and chemo, that it was very hard for her to find laughter in her life, not knowing what tomorrow held for. And I would try my best as a son to always try to put a smile on her face, because I didn't want to take my mom for granted, because you just never know. Kids in life, husbands in life, that next one is, we're going to back up because I don't want to miss this either. Verse 27, it says, she watches over the affairs of the household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. That's the one thing about a mom. They're constantly in fifth gear, going. From the laundry mountains that you got to conquer and wash, like four boys that played sports, I want you to think how much laundry that my mom had to do, to the finances, to keeping the checkbook, to putting food on the table. There was no such thing as sitting down and it seems like breathing for my mom. Some of y'all in this room, y'all know what I'm talking about. That when your kids were growing up, there seems like there was something to do in the house, moms, and y'all were not willing to get in that recliner, get on that couch, but when you finally did, you were sleeping in seconds. It's because y'all would work and then come home and guess what? Work some more until the time you would go to bed. To the bottles, I'm assuming, to the diapers, and everything else. Making sure your kid was at a church event or a school event at a certain time. There was no idleness. There is no idleness in your life. So moms, I hope after the sermon today, when y'all go home, that y'all might be able to just relax, laugh a little bit, and enjoy maybe a day of silence and no laundry, and just take time. Idleness. So I praise my mom because, again, four boys ranging all ages, there was no idleness in that house. I don't know how she made it. But I'm very glad she did. That next one, just real quick, it says, her children arise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her name. This is a tough one. Because I would say, I absolutely love my dad to death. I love him. But I would say, and even as a child, there are many times because my mom was doing so much, getting food, doing laundry, doing all these things, I felt like there were many times growing up as a child that I did not praise my mom and thank her for all she did. Because she was willing to do so much, sacrifice her time to make sure there was food, there was clean clothes to wear, make sure that we had good teeth, making sure we brushed her teeth, that we put deodorant on as growing up boys. I mean, like, that she was able to, like, hey, you put deodorant on today. I don't want you stinking, so please put some on. Like, when you think of all the stuff that your mom did for you growing up, at least that you could do is say thank you every now and then. Husbands, when was the last time you thanked your wife as a mom for all the stuff that she does around the house and how she raises her kids? Besides just giving her a card on Mother's Day or maybe some flowers here and there, when was the last time you truly honored your wife as a mom and really thanked her for all that she does? Because again, going back, we do not need to take our mothers for granted. But we need to be thankful and praise them for all that they do. It says, her children, verse 28, it says, many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. And verse 30, charm is deceptive, deceptive. There we go. And beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Let me ask you this, moms. Today's culture, it seems like beauty is being preached to these kids. How you look, how you talk, how what you look like. But it says beauty is fleeting and charm is deceptive. So let me say this. What God wants more than anything is a mother who has the fear of God dwelling inside her heart. That's what Hannah was talking about. God, I need you to be in control of this child. I want to have this child raised up in your ways, not mine. This culture today is preaching and teaching that it's all about looks. From social media to magazines to whatever it may be, it is all about looks. But the one thing about this passage is that these teenagers and these adults growing up need to see God-fearing women that are saying, I'm willing to raise my child up in God's ways. And that's what kind of role model that they need. So please, moms in the room, realize how important it is for you to focus on God and bring God into your house. Because it is crucial in how you are raising up these kids in today's society. How you have little ones just a few years old being raised up in this society. When you have teenage girls, teenage guys that are being raised up in this society. They need to see God-fearing women in their life. So please, please start relying on God. Please start surrendering your life to God and impacting these kids' life in a positive, God-fearing way. Because the culture is out there preaching something totally different. And that is the temptation of what these kids are facing now. So how do you bring that into your house? So my prayer today, guys, as we come to a close, and Sandra, if you want to, as we're coming to a close today, moms in the room, my prayer for you is to surrender to God. Realize that your relationship with God comes first and that you need Him more than ever in your life to help raise, to help impact these kids in this world's life. Because there are kids growing up in a world that they have no mom. And that you might be the one to be able to take them under your wing and help love them, to help nurture them, to help take care of them. You might be the only one that says, hey, I can provide you some food. And they might be the one looking up to you. But it starts with your relationship with God first. So that is the prayer today, all right? Everybody, if y'all can, stand for me. And as she is playing, that is the prayer today. Dear God, I just thank you today for these incredible women that are sitting in this room who are either mothers or have taken on a motherly role in someone's life. God, I pray that their life will be surrendered to you, that they will love you, that they will follow you, that they will study Scripture, because their life can ultimately impact someone's life for eternity. God, I pray for us as kids that we would not take our mothers for granted, but that we will praise them, love them, honor them, and help them feel loved. God, I thank you for the motherly figures that have stepped into my life. God, I thank you for my mom. And I pray for us today that we will give them honor and thanks for all that they do, God. And help us to reflect on our moms today. In your son's name I pray, amen.